19th and every Tuesday thereafter at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, the makers of Rinsler will present a new series of programs with Edward G. Robinson and Claire Trevor in Big Town. Remember the first broadcast next Tuesday, October 19th at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Columbia Workshops presents
Ernest Hemingway's famous short story, The Killer.
Adapted for radio and directed by Irving Reese. Tonight, the Columbia Workshop takes great pride in presenting, by personal permission of Ernest Hemingway, one of the most famous of his earlier short stories, The Killers, George's Lunchroom, in the small town of Plymouth. It is near evening. There is one customer at the counter. Getting dark, Jordan.
Yeah. Gets dark early this time of year.
Yeah. Who are those two guys hanging around under the lamppost outside?
Yeah, I don't know. They've been coming and going for a couple of hours.
Yeah, must be waiting for someone.
They're dressed pretty swell.
Overcoat looks too tight. They must be padded. Little guys like that don't have shoulders like that.
That's the latest style in New York. I've seen the magazine.
Looks rotten to me.
Yeah. I don't like the look the guy's wearing them either.
Couple of sharpshooters.
Got some pie, George?
Yeah. Apple, plum, pineapple, cheese.
Apple.
Here you are.
What are you looking at?
Don't look around. Keep eating your pie. Those two guys are looking in here. Uh-huh. They're coming in.
Yeah?
What's yours?
I don't know. What do you want to eat, Al?
I don't know. I don't know what to eat.
Well, here's the bill affair. I'll be back.
Taking any more men on to Milner's?
Yeah, picking up a bit.
I'll have roast pork tenderloin with apple sauce and mashed potatoes.
Isn't ready yet.
What the hell are you putting on the card for?
That's the dinner. You can get that at 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock now.
The clock says 20 minutes past 5.
20 minutes past.
Oh, nuts to the clock. What do you got to eat?
I can give you any kind of sandwiches. You can have ham and egg, bacon egg, liver and bacon, or steak.
Give me chicken croquettes, green peas, cream sauce, mashed potatoes.
That's for dinner.
Everything we want for dinner. That the way you work it?
I can give you ham and eggs, bacon and eggs, liver...
I'll take ham and eggs.
Give me bacon and eggs.
One order ham and eggs, Sam.
Ham and eggs.
One bacon and eggs.
Yep.
Got anything to drink?
Silver beer, Bevo, ginger ale.
I mean, you got anything to drink?
Just those I said.
This is a hot town.
What do they call it?
Summit.
Is there a hill of it, Max?
No. What do you do here night?
They eat the dinner.
They all come here and eat the big dinner.
That's right.
So you think that's right?
Sure.
You're a pretty bright boy, aren't you?
Sure.
Well, you're not. Here's the yell.
You dumb. Hey, you. What's your name?
Adam.
Another bright boy. You mean a bright boy, Max?
Right.
Yeah, the town's full of bright boys.
Which is yours?
Don't you remember?
Bacon and eggs.
Just a bright boy. The bacon and eggs are mine.
Sorry.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
The hell you were. You were looking at me.
Maybe that boy meant it for a joke, mate.
You don't have to laugh. You don't have to laugh at all, see?
All right.
If he thinks it's all right. He thinks it's all right. That's a good one.
Oh, he's a thinker.
Hey, bright boy.
Oh, me?
Yeah. You'll go around the other side of the counter with your boyfriend.
What's the idea?
There isn't any idea. You better go around, bright boy.
All right. All right, just put the gun down.
That's a bright boy. I won't put it down.
I might put a piece of lead from it down your throat, see?
What's the idea?
None of your business. He's out, Mr. Cooper.
Colored man.
What do you mean, the colored man?
He cooks.
Tell him to come in.
Where do you think you are?
We know where we are. Do we love stealing? What do you want to argue with us? Listen, you. Tell the cook to come out here.
What are you going to do with him?
Nothing. Here's your head, bright boy. What would we do with a colored cook?
Sam.
Yes, sir?
Come in here a minute.
Yes. What was it?
All right. You stand right there.
But Mr. Otto knows it.
Shut up.
Yes, sir.
All right, now. Go on back to the kitchen. You go with him, Mr. Adams. Just us three. You stay out here and entertain my friends, my boy.
Say, what's this all about?
Just stay out here and you'll see. All right. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, why don't you say something?
What's this all about?
Hey, Al. Bright boy wants to know what it's all about. What do you think it's all about?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I wouldn't say.
Hey, Al. Bright boy says he wouldn't say what he thinks it's all about.
I can hear you all right.
Listen, Bright boy. Stand a little further along the counter. A little more. That's it, Bright boy. Now you, Max. Move a little to the left. That's it. Now everything's nice and clear from here. You two won't be in the way.
Talk to me, Bright boy. What do you think's gonna happen? Well, I'll tell you. You're gonna kill a Swede. You know a big Swede named Ole Anderson?
Yeah.
Comes here to eat every night, don't he?
Sometimes he comes here.
Comes about five, don't he?
If he comes...
We know all that, Bright boy. Talk about something else. Ever go to the movies?
Once in a while.
You ought to go to the movies more. The movies are fine for a bright boy like you.
What are you going to kill Ole Anderson for? What did he ever do to you?
He never had a chance to do anything to us. He ain't never even seen it.
No, he never met the gentleman, bright boy. And he's only going to see us once.
What are you going to kill him for, then?
Why, we're killing him for a friend. Just oblige your friend, bright boy. You cook ham and eggs for friends. We're going to kill a Swede.
Shut up. You talk too much.
Well, I got to keep bright boy amused, don't I, bright boy?
You talk too much. The cook and my bright boy are amused by themselves. I got them tied up nice and tight. And they never see the sawed off shotgun. They're staring at it so hard.
Listen, bright boy. If anybody except the Swede comes in, you tell them to cook us off, see? And if they keep after it, you tell them you'll go back and cook yourself. Do you get that, bright boy?
All right. What are you going to do with us afterwards?
That'll depend. That's one of those things you never know at the time.
Well, I think that...
Hold it.
Hello, George. Can I get supper?
Sam's gone out. Maybe he's back in half an hour.
Oh. Well, I better go up the street.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's all right.
That was nice, bright boy. You're a regular little gentleman.
You know I'd blow his head off. He wasn't a nice bright boy.
No, it ain't that. Bright boy's nice. He's a nice boy. I like him. Bright boy can do everything. You'd make some girl a nice wife, bright boy.
Your friend Ole Anderson isn't going to come.
Why?
Because it's 5:30 and he's always on time or don't come.
Well, we'll give him a couple of more minutes, then we'll find him.
Sure. If he won't come here, we'll go where he is. We're nice like that.
Hold it.
hamburger and some coffee.
Sorry. The cook's sick.
Well, why don't you get another cook? Aren't you running a lunch counter?
Poor Bright Boy. Losing all his customers.
That customer will never know how lucky he is. I thought it was a Swede for a second.
Swede's over 6 feet tall. You nuts.
His blonde hair threw me off. Come on, Al. He's not coming tonight, I guess.
What about the two Bright Boys and the cook?
Ah, they're all right.
You think so?
Sure, we're through with it here.
I don't like it. It's sloppy. You talk too much.
Ah, what's the difference? We gotta keep amused, ain't we?
You talk too much all the same. All right, I'm coming up. Well, how do you feel, Bright Boy?
Okay.
Well, so long. You got a lot of luck.
That's the truth. You ought to play the races, Bright Boy.
Jeez.
There.
I don't want any more of that. I don't want any more of that.
What's this all about? My arm's sore.
They were going to kill Ole Anderson. They were going to shoot him when he came in to eat.
Ole Anderson?
Sure.
They all gone?
Yeah. They're gone now.
I don't like this. I don't like any of it at all.
Listen, Nick. You better go see Ole Anderson.
All right.
You better not have anything to do with it at all. You better stay way out of it.
Don't go if you don't want to.
Mixing up in this ain't going to get you anywhere. You stay out of it.
I'll go to see him. Where does he live?
Little boys always know what they want to do.
He lives up at Hirsch's rooming house, right around the corner.
I'll go up there. Is Ole Anderson here?
Want to see him?
Yeah, if he's in.
Not the other way. Been in his room all day. Guess he don't feel well. Just lays in his bed with all his clothes on. Keeps his face to the wall and just kind of groans. Up these stairs right here. I said to him, Mr. Anderson, you ought to go out and take a walk on a nice fall day like this. He doesn't even feel like it.
He doesn't want to go out.
I'm sorry, he doesn't feel well. An awfully nice man. He was in the ring, you know.
I know.
You never know it, except in the way his face is. Such a big, strong man, but he's just as gentle as his room.
Who is it?
Somebody to see you, Miss Anderson.
It's Nick Adams.
Come in.
What do you want, Nick? I was up at the lunchroom and two fellas came in and tied me and the cook. And they said they were going to kill you. They put us out in the kitchen. They were going to shoot you when you came in to supper. And George thought I'd better come and tell you about it.
There isn't anything I can do about it.
I'll tell you what they were like.
You don't want to know what they were like. Thanks for coming to tell me about it.
It's all right. Don't you want me to go and see the police?
No, no, no. It wouldn't do any good.
Isn't there something I could do?
No, no. There ain't anything to do.
Maybe it was just a bluff.
No, it ain't just a bluff. The only thing is, I just can't make up my mind to go out. I've been in here all day.
Did you get out of town?
Oh, no. I'm through with all that running around. There ain't anything to do now.
Can you fix it up some way?
Oh, no. I got in wrong. There ain't anything to do. After a while, make up my mind to go out.
You better go back and see George.
So long. Thanks for coming around.
It's all right.
Is he any better?
Yeah, he's better.
Oh, that's good. He's such a nice man. You know, it bothered me to see him just lay there as big as he is and just groan.
Yeah, well, good night.
Good night.
Did you see Ole?
Yeah, he's in his room and he won't go out.
Did you tell him about it?
Sure. I told him, but he knows what it's all about.
What's he going to do?
Nothing.
They'll kill him.
I guess they will.
He must have got mixed up in something in Chicago.
I guess so.
It's a hell of a thing.
An awful thing. I wonder what he did.
Double-crossed somebody. That's what they kill him for.
I'm going to get out of this town.
Yeah. That's a good thing to do.
I can't stand to think about him waiting in the room, knowing he's going to get it. Awful.
Well, you better not think about it.
The Columbia Workshop is offered as the first half of this evening's program, Ernest Hemingway's famous short story, The Killer. It was adapted for radio and directed by Irving Rich. Paul Stewart and Edmund MacDonald were featured as The Killer and Walter Bourne as The Squeak. For the second half of this evening's workshop program, we are pleased to offer Illusion, an original radio play by Georgia Backus. Miss Backus is one of the pioneer authors and producers of experimental radio drama in America. The workshop is proud to present Illusion, directed by the author.
Oh, Bob, darling, you're the most wonderful person. And this is the most wonderful day. And this is the most wonderful of all possible places.
Put the three together and they can't hold a candle to you, Eloise.
Oh, Bob, darling, I do love you so.
And from today on, nothing is going to separate us again. Nothing.
That's the way I want to be. But Father will never forgive me for running away to marry you.
Darling, happiness comes from doing what you want to do. Oh, I'm glad we decided to come here.
It is a beautiful place. The most beautiful honeymoon place in the world. Isn't it?
Yes.
You say that as if you weren't sure of it.
I'm not. But I mean, it's just that there's something strange about it here.
Yes, I know. But no. I don't know.
I was thinking, you know, darling, we're lost or something.
But we can't be lost. We haven't turned off on any side roads.
But how did we get here?
Why, you old stupid. We took the train this morning for...
For Overlook Point, I know. But this isn't Overlook Point at all.
Why, that's true. Unless there's something familiar about this road.
It's not the road to Overlook Point. It's not the road to anywhere we've ever been, Eloise. I tell you, we're lost.
Could we have gotten on the wrong train?
No, we were on the right train, but... That's funny. I don't remember getting off.
I do. That is, I remember the noise.
Oh, yes. The trestle.
That's it. And then we... Bob, how long have we been walking?
I should say... Well, I don't know exactly. I don't even know approximately.
Bob, we were going to be married today.
Well, certainly. That's why we took the train for Overlook Point.
And we didn't. I mean...
I'm afraid we're lost for sure, sweetie.
And there's some way we can find out. Don't there? There's a man coming through the field.
Well, come on. We'll ask him what road this is and where it leads.
All right.
Oh, hello there. Hello. I beg your pardon, sir, but can you tell me where we are? I'm
I'm afraid we're lost.
Does it matter?
Of course it matters. It's useful at times to know where you are and where you're going.
Why?
Oh, maybe it doesn't really matter, but I feel as though it should.
That's merely because you're young and in love.
Why merely?
Because when you're very young, you feel that things should matter.
Oh, but they do. They do. They're awfully important.
I thought so once. There was a time when I walked down a road very like this one, as you're walking down it. But it came to an end. I've learned that all roads end.
You must be something of a philosopher.
My dear young man, I am a philosopher.
Well, as a philosopher, why are you so sure that all roads end?
Well, it would be quite futile to explain to youth that the road ends. You see that big gate ahead? That's the termination of this road. But another, or maybe several roads, start out from there. And they, too, will end eventually. My quest has always been the end of the road. So if you'll forgive me, I'll just go on to the end of this one and find the road beyond. Glad to have seen you.
Glad to have seen you.
He's a funny man. You ask him where this road leads, and he gives you a discourse on philosophy. I wonder why he didn't tell us.
I don't know. And maybe he doesn't.
Bob, I don't want to get to the end of the road. Too soon.
Oh, come now. That fellow must have got you down. Were you talking at the end of this road? Might be the end of...
No, I didn't mean that. Bob, that's a lovely gate ahead, isn't it?
It looks like the entrance to a private estate. We'll have a place like that someday.
With gardens and flowers and all... May I get by here?
Oh, I beg your pardon. We're taking up the whole road.
Oh, that's quite all right. It's only that I've got to hurry.
Are you going to the gate ahead?
Oh, yes, indeed. And I want to be there now. You see, it may be that I'll be in time.
In time?
Of course. I've got to stop the police. It's very important. Oh, only I can just find out. Of course, I know, but they don't. I know it wasn't my boy. My Jim wouldn't do a thing like that. He couldn't. You know he couldn't. So that's why I've got to hurry. Good day to you.
Goodbye. Bob, she was talking to us just as if we...
Well, when things happen, people take it for granted that even strangers are interested.
Yes, I suppose so. I wonder what her son did.
Oh, probably he's in a jam of some sort.
Oh, Bob, look. This little cripple girl. How did she manage to walk all this way?
I don't know. Maybe she lives near here. Maybe she'll know. Hello there.
Hello.
Aren't you a long way from your home? You're such a little girl to be...
To be what?
To be out walking here alone.
I'm used to being alone. Are you going to the gate?
Why, yes. I guess we are.
Do you know this part of the country?
No.
Well, then you're not lost, are you?
Oh, no. I'm going to meet my mother.
Oh, I see.
She's waiting for me.
Where?
Why, there. Mothers are always waiting. You know that.
Yes.
I'm going to the gate. It takes me a little longer than other girls because I can't walk so fast. But Mother will wait. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hold my hand, darling. Everyone is in such a hurry to reach the gate. I don't want to hurry.
Neither do I.
And yet, we're almost at the gate.
Oh, there's our friend, the philosopher. I thought he was so anxious to get to the end of the road, but he's just standing at one side watching.
All right. Before passing through this gate, you are permitted to ask a question. And since you are all given but one question to ask here at the Gate of Inquiry, you must be careful in the selection of your questions. Each in turn will come forward to the gate. Your names are registered in the big book that you see there on the other side. When your question is answered, you will take one of the roads beyond. Now, are we ready?
They are.
Then, Professor, do you wish to come forward first?
If you don't mind, I'd like to wait. Somehow, now that I've reached the end of this road, I would rather wait a little.
Step over here, then, Professor.
Thank you.
If you've no objections,
I'd like to ask my question.
Certainly, Mrs. Mullins.
I've only one question that means anything, so it... Tell me. My boy Jim didn't kill that man, did he?
Your son is innocent, Mrs. Mullins.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
The gate is open for you, Mrs. Mullins. Your road is to the right.
Thank you. I knew he didn't do it. I knew it all along, in spite of what they do.
And now?
Please, Mr. Gatekeeper.
Come forward, child.
I thought it over very carefully. Because if I can only ask one question, then I can't ask about how to ask it. And I'd like to ask if I'll ever be able to run and play like other girls. But please, mister, will my mother be waiting for me?
Yes, Mary. She's waiting for you.
Then it's all right, because she'll answer all the other questions. Thank you, mister.
This way, Mary. Just run along straight through the gate.
Oh, I will, I will.
Ready, Professor?
Oh, after these two, my friend. After these two.
Oh, yes.
You ask him, Bob.
Pardon me, but... Well, the truth is, I'm afraid we're lost.
This is the gate of inquiry. You have but one question.
But then we've come to the right place. You see, we got off the road somehow.
I suppose we all get off the road at times.
We do.
Your question?
I suppose I...
No, I've got to ask. I've got to know. They've done everything to keep Bob and me apart. They can't keep us apart any longer now, can they?
No, they can't keep you apart.
Oh, Bob, you hear what he said?
He's right. I don't know how I know it, but I do. And I'm glad we got lost and that everything happened as it did.
Your question?
Well, it doesn't seem to matter now. I love her and she loves me and I... Well, what could I question?
Your own love, Bob.
Bob, we were right. It doesn't matter where we are, as long as we're together.
Of course it doesn't matter, darling. It doesn't matter.
Professor, are you ready?
I bow to the inevitable. It's rather sardonic that I, who have questioned all my life, know the answer to the last question I wish to ask.
And that is?
Well, it may seem strange to you, but all my life I've sought the truth. Well, now I know the answer. But since this is the gate of inquiry, tell me this. You don't always answer those questions truthfully, do you?
No, my friend. We do not.
I didn't think you did.
Isn't it too bad we can't ever answer any of their questions truthfully?
You have listened to the workshop's presentation of Ernest Hemingway's famous short story, The Killers, which was adapted for radio and directed by Irving Reese, and Illusion, an original radio fantasy written and directed by Georgia Backett. Next week, the workshop will present one of its most unusual radio experiments, Rolf Bitstein, one of America's best-known modern composers and author of The Cradle Will Rock, has written an original radio song play for the workshop called I've Got the Tune. The Columbia Workshop especially invites your radio attendance next Sunday at this same hour when it will present Mark Bitstein's original radio song play, I've Got the Tune. Mr. Blitstein, who is recognized as one of America's outstanding modern composers, has written I've Got the Tune especially for the workshop, and it has been in rehearsal and preparation for the past 3 weeks. It will be presented with some of Broadway's leading actors. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.